For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Nashville Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Nashville Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Hey, it's time to gather around the water cooler to talk the SNL Hall of Fame. Hey, it's JD here, and welcome back to the SNL Hall of Fame Water Cooler Podcast. I am inside the recesses of the Hall of Fame right now, and I'm taking the back way. I'm taking the back way today. I'm not taking the elevator down. I'm taking the stairs. So here I go down to the lunchroom, and there they are, right around the water cooler where I expected them. Shari, how are you doing?
I got my water bottle back today, my actual water bottle, not my imaginary one, and I'm glugging.
Awesome. Joe, my friend, what's up with you, buddy?
I'm good. I guess with today's episode, this is going to be a hit because there's a hashtag that says thirsty for Thanos. I'm guessing that has to deal with the water cooler episode being about Josh Brolin. At least that's all I can think of. That's the only thing that it could possibly mean is, yeah.
Well, you've tipped your hand. If you haven't listened to Monday's episode, we are talking about Josh Brolin today. And to get you ready for our conversation, we will get a recap of the Josh Brolin Kalina Stickle episode, and we will get that from our friend Shari right now.
Hello, 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 JD, hello, Joe, hello, everybody out there in Cyberville. This was a great, great episode, as always. Chief Conversationalist, Mr. Bill Kenny, always on point, always does the research, and always is on top of it. And he was joined by a guest who could match him, Miss Kalina Stickle, and she was fantastic in breaking down the three episodes, along with Bill, of Josh Brolin. They talked about the highs, they talked about the not as highs. Kalina brought up that her only tiny quibble with Josh is sometimes he goes off into his own world and loses the cards, loses the cue cards a bit. But she did talk greatly about how he's game for anything, how he's willing to dance with a very pregnant Amy Poehler. And in one of the sketches that they start off with, and they go right through his three sketches, starting with that first one with Amy Poehler, which I had forgotten about.
Yeah.
And that is a hilarious sketch. And they were both so great in it. And they, from there, they go on to many of his other sketches that I'm sure we'll get into. And they discuss his career at the time when he first did episode one, and Goonies came on, and Kalina confessed she had never seen Goonies. What? And I was screaming at the screen, and so was Bill screaming at the screen. We're like, you haven't seen Goonies.
Right, I remember.
She's like a great deal younger than me, I think. And Goonies was like everything to me. But I know there's many who just, it wasn't for them, and I get that. But I believe that she's going to go watch it. So that makes, if that's the only thing that this episode did for Kalina, it got her to go watch Goonies, all is well in the world. So it was truly a terrific episode. Kalina did a great job making a case for Josh, who's really only had three episodes, but she talked a lot about how he has skyrocketed in popularity. And that is true. And she and Bill did go through that. And about his breaks from the show, his breaks in his career. It was really an interesting discussion because he is a host that I don't think gets talked about as much. So I didn't know as much. And now, thanks to Matt in his Minutia Minute and Bill and Kalina, I feel like I know a lot about Josh Brolin.
Yeah, it's the wonderful thing about those episodes on Monday. You really do get a holistic view of, you know, whomever it is that we're nominating. And they did a bang up job this week for sure. Joe, I'm curious if you have any buddy in mind that's in the Hall of Fame already that might be a comparable to Mr. Brolin.
I don't have anyone that's in the Hall of Fame yet. I mean, maybe Alec Baldwin, but I got someone that's on the ballot that I think is neck and neck, that has a very similar pathway to the Hall of Fame, and that's Adam Driver. And these two people are great dramatic actors. I mean, they could do independent films. They can do major superhero stuff. You know, they're Kylo Ren or Thanos. You know, they can do all this stuff where they go off to Hollywood and just show their talent, directing talent. And then in their off time, it's like, I'm going to have a little fun with the Saturday Night Live. And, you know, and then each and every time they show up, they just knock it out of the park. I mean, Josh Brolin, each time, has something that belongs on someone's best of reel. I know for a fact No Angel is on Amy Poehler's best of DVD. That's kind of what gave me this idea. Two is, and I didn't mean to put this two, but I just can't wait to talk about Fartface. Now, I'm not saying this in the juvenile way, but I just love that. But, and then the third one is Shrimp Tower. And it's just, when you look at those three sketches, it is like, this is, you know, on the verge of, you know, someone that's going to be like, this is just like watching Alec Baldwin and Tom Hanks host in the 90s. The same thing with Adam Driver and, Brolin. You know, and Josh Brolin, is you're seeing this thing where when you know, when they host, you know that even their worst is going to be awesome with either one of those guys. So, yeah.
And I feel like both of them are going to be pumped up into the next echelon, as Shari said, you know, with more hosting performances. I really like that idea, though, that, you know, we're watching Baldwin or, you know, Steve Martin early on, or John Goodman even at the beginning of the 90s, and getting that sense of watching them work with this cast and getting to know them and
and adapting with the new ones.
That's right.
Because they've, you know, he's hosted a, you know, like a decade apart, so there's been a turnover, and he could still bring it. So, I mean, he's able to adapt.
Yeah, adaptability is huge. Shari, going back to the first question first, and you can answer them successively, because Joe didn't have one for the first, but he did have one for the second. So if you want to tell us who already in the Hall of Fame might be comparable, and then slide right into who on the entire ballot has a similar pathway.
Sure. Well, I had a hard time like Joe. There's really nobody who's just like Josh, because he's had only three episodes. That's and right. All of the hosts in the hall are heavy hitters. I mean, they've had like nine, exactly, greatest of all times for sure. But of those goats, he reminds me the most of Hanks, personality-wise. Not time on the show-wise, but personality-wise. They're both prolific actors. They're both heavily awarded actors with many accolades. They've both been around a long time. And that's one thing that Josh is different. He's having a renaissance. I mean, I hate to say that, but he's older. Like, he's older than you and I, JD, I believe. He's in his maybe late 50s, early 60s. Wow. And his career is bigger than it's ever been.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, he could almost be Adam Driver's daddy, I think. I'm not positive. So in terms of, you know, where they are in their careers, you know, Josh is much closer to maybe, I don't know if he's ever going to retire. Not with the career he's having, but he's had an interesting little renaissance, which Kalina and Bill talked about. But I do see that in, that is the way that he's kind of in kinship with Tom Hanks, is Tom Hanks is probably going to be on again. I mean, I'm sure he is, because his career never stopped, whereas Josh took a break. But I feel like they're a lot alike in this, in terms of their very much willing to go with the flow, good, terrific senses of humor, So I see some similarities there. As far as already in the hall, I mean, or not, excuse me, on the ballot, but not in the hall. I said exactly what Joe said. I think Joe and I are just sisters, brothers, brothers, sisters from other mother, whatever the same is.
I got it. I got you. Yeah, we're two of the same mind.
We're two of the same mind. Thank you. That's what
He's
I
picking
get.
Up what you're laying down.
And he made the exact same argument that I had in my notes for Adam Driver, except for the age difference. They are so similar in, they kind of came into SNL later, like, because I don't think Adam came in right when he was having his Star Wars bump. I feel like he came in after.
Well, he also did a turn on that show Girls.
And yes.
He was very popular on that. And he never made an appearance. So he didn't really make an appearance until, you know, he was getting ready to be Kylo Ren, I think.
I think it was the December of, because it was one of my favorite Star Wars jokes of all time, where during his monologue, he goes, "I'm in the new Star Wars movie," and everyone applauds. And he goes, "Oh, good, you'll like it. Hopefully they'll make another one." So I think it was leading up to the Star Wars thing. So I think, you know, because Saturday Night Live obviously does that, where they get people on the way up. Right. So right. I'm not sure if it was, but it was close to Star Wars. So,
okay,
but yeah, he did do it with Girls.
A little different from Josh then, who really didn't come on SNL. So he was fairly sort of established, because it was well after Goonies that he made his first appearance.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because he was a kid on Goonies.
He was
a teen. So, yeah. So he's having a bit of a, I hate the word renaissance, because I don't think he disappeared.
Second life, I guess.
He sort of did, though, Shari. He was tough to find before No Country for Old Men. And then since that movie came out and he got nominated, he's been
in the zeitgeist.
You said he's ubiquitous, right? Like, he's all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know Bill mentioned that he was doing bit parts here and there, but I couldn't. I mean, I've probably seen him. I just can't recall, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. He's had a definitely very interesting career. May we all have careers like Josh Brolin. That's
right.
All I'm saying.
Yes.
All right, let's slide into the closing argument. What we're going to do right now is give a listen to Kalina's closing argument, and then we'll come back on the other side and discuss that. Let's listen right now.
So, Kalina, we've covered a lot of ground with Josh Brolin here. So here's your chance to tell the voters and people around the water cooler why Josh Brolin should be in the SNL Hall of Fame.
Oh, boy. Well, I think I have a lot of the same factors. Like, if you listen to me on different shows, you're going to hear me list off the same things. But that's because it's what I've decided is important to me as a longtime fan. So like I said, I want to know that they're excited to be there. Like, I want it to not just be the gig you do because it's what you should do. I want it to be the gig you do because it's like every person's dream to do this. And I think SNL is such a special thing that exists. I think we're so lucky that it still exists. And so seeing hosts that are just very present for it is a big thing for me. Hosts that don't seem to have any kind of ego really floating over them, you know, they'll embarrass themselves, they'll put on the silly wigs, they'll sing and dance and do, I don't know, kind of whatever best suits the show or fits the sketches. I think he definitely has that quality. I think he's charismatic. I think he's naturally funny. I think he has good timing. And even if he's not perfect at all of the other things, even if he maybe looks at the cue cards more than I want him to, like, as a viewer, I still think that he possesses so many of the qualities that you need to just be successful on the show. And he is. And I don't think he would have come back and hosted three times if that wasn't widely agreed with. So I think he is a very good pick. I think he has a lot of versatility. And I think, frankly, there's a lot more that we can see from him in future hosting gigs.
Well put, Kalina. Well put. I got to say, she's on the same page as us in terms of having Brolin come back. And that's really exciting to hear that, you know, all of us feel that way. I'm wondering, though, if there's anything in there that either of you can pick apart. or that you want to speak to. If you don't, that's fine too. But if you do, let's have it. Joe?
So, yeah, with her final thoughts, I basically wrote down what she said before she said it, like as I was listening to it, which is you can tell he has fun doing the show. And that kind of led me to my belief that he goes off, does his career, and then comes here and has fun. And there's this little story. I'm not going to go off on it, but I think this is relevant. With Fartface, I just love it. But it's unfortunate that it has to deal with that. But the point is, it killed at read-through, it killed at rehearsal, like, you know, then it bombs at dress, like, dead silent. And then they're like, but they still have faith in it, you know, that, you know, Lauren's been through this, you know, before. So he kept it in, and he put it after the after the musical guest, I guess, like, when the audience would still be pumped. And so, you know, the audience is pumped, and Brolin puts on the wig and suit, and he's ready to go out there, and he's there with Forte and Hader, and he looks at the audience, and he sees how happy they are, and the adrenaline's going, and I'm not going to say the actual word, but he just looks at him and goes, and tells Forte and Hader, you ready to shut these zephyrs up? Like, he knows it's going to bomb. Like, it's the end of Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Like, let's do this. I don't, like, he likes the sketch, he knows it's funny, doesn't care if it's going to bomb or not. Like, he sees that they're happy, doesn't care, just let's do the show. And that's the cool thing about the sketch. It's a very, I think it's a very great sketch. Like, it's something I could see the Kids in the Hall doing, or dare I say, Monty Python. It reminds me of Monty Python in the sense that it's, like, adults in a grown-up situation acting like kids. And, you know, and you put him out there, who's this very grown-up man. Like you said, he's 50, and, you know, he's acting childish, and, you know, and he just doesn't care. He knows, he doesn't care if it's going to succeed or not. He wants to perform it. This is Saturday Night Live, and he's down for it, you know, like for the highs and the lows. So, and I agree with her when she said that it seems like he has fun doing the show. I agree. And then it ties in with that story. So, yes, I mean, I totally agree with what she said.
Nice. Shari, anything you want to add?
Yeah. If anything was going to sway me,
yeah,
this would have been it. This argument by Kalina and Bill, this whole episode, would have convinced me. And it's convinced me further than I was, just like with the Jack Black app, where I'm on the fence. Now that we have this endless buffet to vote, we can vote for as many as we want. I feel like I still don't want to just let anybody in, though. The Hall of Fame is special. And he's only been done 3 episodes. I feel like I might need a little more. But we'll see. We'll see. I was not a giant fan of episode 49. I know I'm in season 49. His app in season 49. I was not the biggest fan.
Really?
I know I'm in the minority. I remember listening to the SNN break down the episode. Everybody loved it. But me and my husband. So, and there were a few others, but it wasn't him that was the problem. I wasn't a fan of the sketches that night, and I didn't feel the writing was as strong as it could have been. But that aside, I think Brolin, with a couple more episodes, I could definitely be convinced. I just don't know that I'm there yet.
I think that's totally fine. I think that that's, really cool that you're being, you know, respectful of the hall as well. I think that's a lot of fun. So, yeah. Let's talk about last week's episode of SNL. And then we're pretty much caught up, folks. We'll have to think of some things to do in the off weeks again. But we were graced with the performances of Shane Gillis and Tate McRae. I'm wondering, Shari, we'll stick with you if you have any Hall of Fame moments from that episode. I know you weren't a big fan, but did you have any Hall of Fame moments?
Well, here's the thing. I thought I really hated it, but then I went back at into my notes because I took notes on every sketch, and I liked it more than I thought I did, actually, because I actually liked the sketches. I just, my Hall of Shame, I guess we're not at the Hall of Shame yet, but...
Go for it.
I'm trying to
tie it together.
Yeah, I liked all the sketches. I know I mentioned one, but the PDD sketch. That's what I liked.
Right.
That's what I liked especially well. I didn't particularly love Gillis's bit in it, but I did love the PDD guys and their various roles. And I adored Ego. You know, I love my Ego. And when she goes to that fair, she killed me. She just, that little thing, her zooming off and going like, "Wee!" or whatever she did, was just perfect. It was just this little moment. But that Ego is so good at that, taking little moments and making them her own. And I love that about her. Yeah. So that was my Hall of Fame. But I didn't hate any of the sketches. Can I go into my Hall of Shame, JD? Is
sure.
that okay?
Yeah.
My Hall of Shame was just the host. Right. Everything about the host. I don't know why he got a second episode. I don't understand. I know they were saying that Lauren's like, maybe the SNL nerds were saying that maybe Lauren is looking at this as his revenge because they made him fire Shane back in the day and he's still bitter. I don't know if that's true, but I don't understand. The first time he came was not good, and this was worse. So, yeah, that's my opinion. Like only the opinion of me. Only the opinion of me.
No, that's who we asked, so that's good. But I just want to ask a follow-up. Is that mainly based on the monologues?
No. I didn't like the monologues, but I don't like him in sketches. He seems very wooden. He doesn't seem like he's enjoying himself. He looks like he's doing this to move his career along. I really don't get a vibe from him at all. Some stand-ups can do it great and others cannot. And he is in the cannot category for me.
Good point. Yeah, that's a good point. It's tough for stand-ups to get into sketch comedy. I've seen it a number of times and it's very, you know, it can be very difficult for them. They're used to producing, directing, writing, performing, all of it, you know, they own when they do stand up. And then they go into an ensemble and suddenly they've got to listen to a director. They've got to read stuff that's written by somebody else. You know, the performance is still theirs, but all the rest of it is out the window. So it's interesting. Hall of Fame moment from you, Mr. Gannon.
So another thing about Farface, it's simple. No, I'm just kidding. I kind of agree with, I totally agree with Shuri. I don't understand why he hosted a second time. I'm wondering if there's like he's popular online. Like, don't get me wrong. I just don't understand. Like, I mean, maybe they are. I mean, and all that stuff. So with the pro, I mean, and this is speaking to the point about what Shuri was saying about him kind of sticking out in the sketches. For me, was Weekend Update. Weekend Update just killed. You know, I didn't care for so much for the correspondence, you know, with the song and the person who allegedly saw the Best Picture nominees, but the Weekend Update jokes were just nailing it, one after another. I also did like the Please Don't Destroy sketch. It felt like something they could have done live, but was enhanced by being pre-taped, which doesn't really fit with Saturday Night Live, but nevertheless, it was still a highlight of the night.
Oh, we've opened that Pandora's box has been opened, though, Joe.
It's like yes.
Pre-taped
Andy Samberg.
40% of the show from now on, I think.
Yeah. I remember, not Lauren, the other one. I'm on the other side of my brain right now.
Dick Ebersol.
Dick Ebersol. He said he would come back for another year if he could pre-tape most of the sketches. And I'm like, kind of funny where we're at right now. But anyway, so I want to go into cons. I didn't really have much, which is Wine Tour, the one where the woman wanted to take a picture in front of the tree and she was being all particular about it.
What was
that? Didn't work with me. And I'm like, why is this the first one of the night? This is not the one that's going to hook you and all this. And plus, you know, they made the joke at the 50th about after update, no sketches put you to sleep quicker than after update. It felt like it should have been in that part of the show where you just do a couple jokes. You just kind of, you know, said, okay, she's particular, and then punchline, and then you're out. So that one, but now here's the thing. I'm going to do this. I've never actually done this. A half a pro, a half a con. So it's Dad's House. Immediately when I saw the opening graphic, I was in. I'm like, that sounds hilarious. Like a children's, you know, show, you know, version of going to a diverse dad's house. And I'm like, that sounds great. And then the jokes in it just didn't land for me. And there was just something wrong with the timing. Maybe it was Shane. I don't want to put it on him. But I liked the premise. Didn't like the jokes. I kind of hope they try it again, because I believe there's something there. It's just, it wasn't there that particular time. So it's not really a pro, not really a con. It's just kind of in the middle. I just want to give it an honorary mention for whichever category. But yeah.
All right. So a halfer.
Mm-hmm.
That's a first here in the SNL Hall of Fame Water Cooler Podcast. I love it. Is there anything else about the week in SNL that you guys want to jam on a little bit?
I mean, we can still talk about the 50th. I know we'll never, ever stop. Well, yeah.
You've had some time to ruminate on the 50th at this point. Is there anything you want to point out about the 50th?
Oh, it still holds up. Go ahead.
Two weeks later, holds up. That's good.
So again, shouting out the SNL nerds, John and Darren, they were talking about the fact that maybe one of the reasons that the Gillis episode was as icky as it was, is it was coming. They were all tired. They were coming off this huge, huge show that they'd all been anticipating. And so everybody, the writers were tired. Everybody was tired. Yeah. Even though a lot of the current writers didn't write on the anniversary special, but still, you know, they were all very geeked for this moment. Sure. And then they're kind of having that hangover. And so maybe it wasn't all on Shane. Maybe there was some of that as well. I thought that was a really good point made by John and Darren on the SNL Nerds podcast, which you should listen to. I know it's not on our network, but you should listen to it anyways.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I listen to all the SNL podcasts out there. I think for me, I think that the monologues really set the tone, and both monologues were, it's not that they were bad. They were awkward. They were so awkward because acknowledged when the stand-up acknowledges the fact that they're bombing, suddenly the fourth wall is broken. And it can be very damaging. And I think in the case that we saw with both Gillis performances, is it took away that stand-up works because it's perceived spontaneity, right? Everybody in the audience is thinking that the stand-up is up there being spontaneous and just telling them those stories. But the reality is that they hone and craft, and, you know, every little thing is part of the performance. And when you give that up to your audience, you lose the room in a certain way. And I feel like he lost the room in both cases. And for me, that sent me into the next sketch or the actual show proper, feeling underwhelmed. And I never felt like the show found its feet after that. You know, that, like, Joe, you're so right about that sketch with Heidi in front of the tree. It was just, it was bordering on obnoxious. And like, I part of me wonders like what Heidi was thinking as she was doing it, but we'll never know. Anything else, folks?
I can keep going on about Farface. I won't.
We'll do a separate adjunct podcast this week where it's just Joe waxing philosophical about
Farface. I mean, they did a documentary about Cowbell. I mean,
that's right. Well, that's what we've got for you this week. It's been an absolute pleasure to be with you. Next week, we are getting first timer, but multi time host on the SNN. He is the host of Everything You Need to Know, the co-host of Everything You Need to Know About SNL, which is up to season 21, I think. Definitely check those out. 20? Okay. Definitely check those out. And I'll give you his name now. His name is James Stevens, and we're really excited to have him in the Hall of Fame. He's going to be talking about Ann Beats, which is really exciting because that's something I don't know a whole lot about. And I'm excited to learn some more about her.
She's a writer. That's kind of why, it's always hard, especially with the early season. But just to give the audience a taste, she's a writer from the first 5 years. So it's going to be interesting listening to that episode and listening to our episode.
Yeah. So thanks for joining us. And on behalf of Joe and Shari, as always, stay thirsty. Thanks for listening to the SNL Hall of Fame Water Cooler. To connect with Joe and Shari, join our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/SNLHOF. To email the cast, write to snlhofwc@gmail.com. Please subscribe, share, rate, and review the show wherever you get your podcasts. Duvra. Podcasts and such.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Nashville Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Memphis Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.